Money Plan SOS Podcast, Episode 37, Open Enrollment. I'm Steve Stewart, your humble servant and personal finance architect, helping everyday Americans design a house of financial freedom and teaching folks how to pay attention, not interest. Hey, welcome back to the Money Plan SOS podcast. I'm so glad that you're here and you're still downloading the podcast and sharing this show with other people, telling about it to other folks, because we did not have a podcast release last week. So we haven't had a release until just now in November, and it's November 9th. You'll be hearing this on November 10th or later. But I have already got 20 new people listening to older episodes. That means I've gone in and checked out the stats just before I released this, and almost all the old episodes, there's already 20 downloads of the older segments, the older episodes. So somebody out there is spreading the word. Other people are listening and downloading the show, and that's so encouraging to me that you guys are out there, and I really do appreciate it. If you're new to the show and you want to get a hold of me, there's a couple of ways you can reach me or even follow me. If you're on Twitter, I always start with Twitter because that's the first place I got into social media was Twitter. Go to twitter.com/moneyplansos, and you can follow me there. And if you want to make sure I'm following you, then I want you to put in a special hashtag into Twitter. You don't even have to be following me. Just put this into Twitter, and I will start following you. So you ready? Here's the special Money Plan SOS podcast hashtag for Twitter. #MPSOS. #MPSOS. If you put that into Twitter, I'm going to start following you and put you into that special podcast listener only list. If you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/moneyplansos. Or as always, you can email me, steve@moneyplansos.com, and send me any questions you may have, comments, you want some suggestions on what we should talk about in the show, send it my way. Or if you're looking for help building a presentation or some kind of a speaking engagement class for you and your business, give me a call, 636-373-4818. 636-373-4818. And feel free to leave comments in the show notes. You can find that at moneyplansos.com/037. moneyplansos.com/037 for the show notes and putting comments in for this episode. Oh, and I wanted to give you an update on that last episode of the Money Plan SOS podcast. Episode 36, we talked about, should I refi? And I was talking about how, you know, my wife and I were considering refinancing because the rates are so low. We measured out all the pros and cons. Does it make sense for us to refinance? Because we've already got a good rate. We don't have much time left on the mortgage. Does it make sense for us to refi? And to the conclusion we came out with was, you know, we forgot to add in one more thing, which was the opportunity cost of taking a vacation day, which means, you know, we have to take a vacation day off to go and do this, to sign the paperwork, to get the thing done. And there is that risk that there's something in the paperwork that gets messed up or that we didn't quite understand or see, and we didn't want to take that risk. It was only for $1,100, so the risk wasn't all that great. The opportunity that we're losing on saving money isn't all that great compared to what we'd get paid off. So we decided not to refi. We're just going to keep plugging away. And of course, everything extra that we throw on the house now just makes the benefit of refinancing now less attractive. We're just going to stick with what we've got. We've only got a little bit left to go. So I wanted to give you that update just in case you were wondering. Well, it's November. It's that time of year where a lot of companies do something they call open enrollment. Open enrollment is when a company takes their benefits program and they review it, they revise it, they revamp it, and they totally rewrite it sometimes. To change the things, they update it, they give you better options, take away some options, and of course, the way we've seen it the last few years is they also up price for certain things. So this is that time of year when a lot of people have that open enrollment package showing up at their front door, and it's got a whole bunch of stuff in it, and they try to make it easy to complete, try to make it understandable, but everybody's package is different, and sometimes it's just a little more difficult to figure out what to do and if you should continue doing something. I was thinking about doing this episode as, you know, kind of a more in-depth look at you know, PPOs and HMOs and health insurance options and things like that, but I realized everybody's plan is so different that there's no reason for me to do so. There's no reason for me to dig into it that deeply, so I'm just going to go ahead and talk about the differences between getting a company-provided plan versus doing these things outside of a big company, meaning, you know, some people are self-employed or they work for a small company that doesn't have a group plan. So what are the options that you have available to you when you don't have a big company who also might be paying for a portion or all of each one of these benefits? So in order to make this a short episode, today we're going to talk just about the different types of insurances the major types of insurances that everybody needs to have, but if you don't work in a full-time position with benefits provided by a company or even the option to get those benefits from a company, then what are your options? So the first thing that you usually see if you're working for a big company that everybody needs to have is health insurance. You need to have health insurance. I mean, the reason why is simple. If you were to get into, let's just say it's a car accident. You get in a car accident, you've got a hospital stay for 3 days. You're gonna rack up a pretty big hospital bill, and you really don't want to be without insurance in that situation. And you can't forecast a car accident. So a health insurance plan is really a necessity. Now, if you're working for a big company, you know, the prices vary, of course, because the company is going to have different types of benefits, different options. How good is the coverage? You know, do you have a copay or do you not? Do they have a maximum limit on how much they'll cover? There's all kinds of different variations to that. But a lot of the times, the company will pay a portion, if not all, of the health insurance for you. And most companies right now, they're not paying the whole benefit. You're paying a good chunk of it, or, you know, at least they're supplementing some of it for you. For example, my wife's plan that she's being offered is pretty reasonable. It really is that it's a pretty good policy, but it's still going to cost us, you know, around $150 a month just for the medical, the dental, and the vision wrapped up together. So that's pretty good these days, because I've also seen policies that have a similar option, which are about $355 a month. The good news is that there's other options out there. You can go out into the open market if you wanted to look and see if there's other things available to you that either would cost less, have better options, or maybe you don't have that big company plan behind you. So if you were to look outside of the market, there's something called a health savings account. If you're not familiar with an HSA, a health savings account, you can kind of look at it as a 401k plan that you can take money out of to pay for medical bills. Now, before I get into the real benefits of an HSA, I need to talk about the big thing in question is the deductible. And what is a deductible? I believe you probably already know what a deductible is. I can't even say it. But a deductible is the amount of money that you have to pay out either as a portion of the bill, or for the most part, you have to pay this much out before insurance really starts to cover the bills for you. So with an HSA, you have what's called a high deductible plan, and that means you're going to be paying more out of pocket by going to the doctor and having these events that you want insurance to cover. Those first dollars that are paid to a medical bill are going to be coming out of your pocket. you're going to be paying a lot more of those first dollars before insurance really kicks in. So there's a huge expense that could come from having an HSA, but that's only if you go to the doctor a lot, you do a lot of those medical things. But you've got the other coverages there that help, you know, that you've got the copay, you've usually got a good prescription plan, as long as you've got a good HSA. But that deductible, of course, is the big thing. Now, why is the deductible not a problem in my mind? Well, hopefully we're saving money in certain things. And with an HSA, the health savings account, there's a built-in savings account where you can put money into this account. You can put a certain amount away every single year. And when you're putting this money away, you put it in, like I said, like a 401k, you put it in pre-tax. The money you put in there is not taxed. So you're getting a tax break by doing that. And every year, the amount of money that you put in there, if you don't use it, it stays in there. You don't get dinged for it. There's no charges for you. You don't lose it. It's yours to keep. So let's say you saved $5,000 in this HSA in year one, and then another $5,000 in year two, and another $5,000 in year three. You've got $15,000, not including any growth that you might have in there. And then you're going to be able to use that for medical expenses. So you'll be able to take it out at any time for major medical prescriptions, you know, the ones that the doctor writes you the little slip for. Those are the things that you will use that for. So an HSA, even with a high deductible, is a really cool tax savings plan. But of course, we don't do things to save for taxes. But that's one of the great benefits of an HSA. The second great benefit of an HSA is it gives you a low premium. The higher the deductible, usually the lower the premium. Obviously, the investment company or the insurance company is taking a greater risk when the deductible for you is lower. And of course, if you increase that deductible, then they're taking less risk because the first dollars that are coming out to pay for this are coming out of your pocket. So your premium usually goes down quite a bit the higher the deductible. Now I'm going to give you an example here. I did a quote for myself doing a family coverage plan, and it was actually with Blue Cross. Blue Cross has been around for ages. So this is a pretty good company. It's not just some little fly-by-night company that's going to disappear. This is a Blue Cross high-deductible plan, HSA. It's a $7,000 deductible, meaning the first $7,000 of medical expense I have to cover before the insurance kicks in, which, I mean, How many people spend $7,000 on medical expenses in a year? You need to have, you know, some medical conditions to see the doctor a lot or something pretty big happen to hit that deductible. Most people, and this isn't everybody, but most people, they go to the doctor a few times a year. You know, they get the flu, they go see the doctor, and they pay that entire bill. So you're going to have a couple $1,000s out of pocket. But I think for the most part, people wouldn't be spending $7,000 before insurance kicks in. So you're not going to get the benefit other than the tax deduction there. But with the low premium, but by having this low premium, this policy that I quoted out was only $240 a month for my family. When I looked at these other plans that people have given me the paperwork for, you know, I got plans from $145 to $355 that I'm looking at other people's plans to give them advice. Well, $240 is right in the middle of that. So that makes this option affordable during the year. As long as I don't get sick a lot, don't go to the doctor a lot, then I could come out, you know, just as good as anybody else. So if I'm self-employed and don't have a big company behind me, that's a good option. That's a good idea. And by putting money away into that savings account pre-tax, I'm getting a tax deduction, and by letting it roll over every year, that money's going to be there. So let's say 3 years later, I've got, you know, $15,000 into that account. And then something big happens, and it costs me $10,000. Well, that first $7,000 comes out of my HSA, so the money's already been saved, and the next $3,000 is covered by the health insurance company, by Blue Cross, if it were this policy. That's kind of neat. That's kind of neat. So it's not the best plan. I've seen other ones. I've got another one that I looked at was $11,000 deductible, another Blue Cross plan, for $189 a month. So if you've got money you can save towards this and you don't go to the doctor a lot, an HSA is actually a pretty good idea. Or even if you get sick, you know, let's say you get a lot of medical bills and you're uninsurable through your company, maybe you can't qualify for certain things that the company can't just provide it to you, then what you do is you run all this money through an HSA and you get the tax deduction on that, and that's going to help you to also save on premiums. So it's not the best thing. Obviously, there's a lot of great company-provided plans. I'm not trying to convince you that an HSA is better than your company plan, but there is that option out there. There is that option out there, and that option is available to people who work for a company, and it's available for people who don't work for a big company and they don't have the benefit of a company supplying that policy for you, or even paying a portion of the bill for you. Another thing that a lot of people need to have, I really think this is a need, is long-term disability. You are more likely to become disabled before you retire than you are to die. You're more likely to come up with something that'll keep you from producing an income than if you were to pass away. The chances are greater that something like that is going to happen. So think about it. You're working at a desk and then something happens and you're disabled. You know, something happens and you get in a car accident and it breaks your back. You know, talking about these things is not pleasant, but that stuff happens out there. You have a stroke. Something happens and you're no longer able to do your job. Then where's the income going to come from? A long-term disability policy, especially through work, is a really good idea. And I can tell you from experience and seeing what my wife's company can provide or to sponsor, long-term disability is cheap. You can get add-on long-term disability for less than, I know in my wife's company, it's less than $5 a month. I mean, $60 a year. I mean, it's almost not worthy of a discussion. You know, if we just don't go out to eat once, we've got it covered for a year. So long-term disability is important in case something were to happen to keep you from working. And of course, that if it's provided through a company, it's really inexpensive. Now, I did some quotes looking outside of a big company plan, and now we're looking at, you know, $40 to $60 a year per person, and that's going to be fairly, not hefty, it's something you're going to consider. But it's so important, it's really worth looking at. Now, we can also talk about short-term disability. Now we're really talking about a really inexpensive policy. A lot of companies provide, you know, 60% of your base salary automatically. They just pay it. But if you want to increase that so that your standard of living doesn't drop, maybe you're strapped as it is, and so, you know, becoming disabled for 3 or 4 months is really going to just tear things up for you, then you might want to think about short-term disability. For the most part, if your money's in line and you've got a big emergency fund, then you wouldn't need to buy short-term disability. But from the policies I've seen, short-term disability can be anywhere from, you know, $5 to $10 to $15 a month, depending on your company's plan and what they provide to you. That's not expensive either. But then again, would you need that? If you were to become disabled, you know, would your emergency fund take you long enough? Would you be able to live on that long enough to get to your long-term disability benefit, or would you really need to have that short-term disability benefit right away? So I did short-term disability once, 1 year when I was working for a big company. You know, it cost me $60 that year. Did I get any benefit out of it? No, but that's what insurance is for. It's there in case you need it. It's not there because you're going to use it. And let's all hope that you never use the insurance. But one of the biggest things that people just take for granted in a big company is life insurance. Life insurance is a must. You need health insurance. You need long-term disability insurance, but you have to have life insurance. If you're married or you have children or both, you need life insurance. Most big companies that people work for that provide some type of insurance plan offer you know, your base salary as a benefit. They just pay for a life insurance policy per se. They pay for covering you for your base salary. So if you made $50,000 a year, they just, if you were to croak, they would give $50,000 to your family. That's almost always, you know, the case. Sometimes they offer you the option to increase the amount of coverage, and a lot of times they do. And it becomes fairly inexpensive by doing it that way. The couple of plans that I was looking at, the company provided plans that I was looking at, you can get, you know, $100,000 of coverage for $120 a year. So if, let's say you were a $50,000 employee and you bought $100,000 more in life insurance, that means if you were to pass away, then the company would pay your family $150,000. Or $200,000 in coverage would be an additional $240. Or if you were to go for a $500,000 plan provided through at least the companies that I'm looking at here, you know, you're looking at $600 to $700 that you would pay out of pocket in case you were to pass away. That money would then go to your family. So again, we're talking about if you were to go for the additional, you know, I say everybody should have 8 to 10 times of their income in life insurance, so that if you were to pass away, there's a good chunk of money that goes to your family. They can then do something smart with that money, invest it, and do some smart steps with paying off some debt. But they've got that money there to live on and replace your income that they no longer have. So I would not have somebody, you know, one of my clients getting a $50,000 policy or even a $100,000 policy. I'd be talking to them. At the minimum, it would have to be like a $200,000 policy. And if you were to get a $200,000 policy and add that to your $50,000 policy at work, and you pay that extra $240 a year, that's only $20 a month extra that you're paying to get that extra coverage through a big company. However, if you were to look and see what the prices are for term life insurance outside of work, just getting it yourself, getting it in the open market, the prices are ticking up, but they're still pretty low. They've been really low for years. I actually had purchased 3 different life insurance policies. I had went and gotten one, and it wasn't as good as when I went back and looked at it again about a year later. So I went and retested and got qualified for a better plan, and then I went back once again, and I got more coverage for less money. What that is to say is the first time I went, I think I got $350,000 worth of coverage, and it cost like $600 a year. Then the prices were going down, I lost some weight, and I qualified for a better plan. And then by the third time I went back, I was able to secure $500,000 worth of life insurance for under $400 a year. That's cheap. That's amazing. Now, the prices, again, they're ticking up right now. So when I went out and did some quotes, if you were like me, you know, if you're in the early 40s, you're not exactly in excellent shape. You know, I'm not awful, but I'm not in good shape. I'll admit, I'm not in great shape right here. But so if you were me and you were to qualify for life insurance, meaning you took the blood test and everything checked out okay, you can get a $200,000 policy, a 15-year level term $200,000 coverage policy for $240 a year. That's the same price as if you were to get it with your company. If you went with a 20-year term, and I'll talk about why we talk about 15 or 20-year terms in a minute. If you went with a 20-year term, and this is, again, quotes, you know, today, for me, if you were me and you went out in the open market and priced these things, $200,000 in insurance would be $250 a year. A year. You know, 20-some dollars a month. That's it. That's all you'd have to spend to get that benefit if you were to pass away. And we're hoping, of course, you never use this. But look at it this way. The reason we talk about 15 or 20 or 25 or 30-year level term is because you don't need to have permanent insurance. And because these prices are so much cheaper than if you went with a whole life policy. Whole life policies are really expensive. If you price them out, you'll see they're really expensive. But how long do you need life insurance for? Do you need it for life? Because if you're doing what we teach, if you're doing the steps, if you're following the plan of paying off debt, saving for your future, you're going to be paying off your debt in just a couple of years. You're going to have a big emergency fund. You're going to be saving for kids' college and for retirement. You're working the plan. You have a whole bunch of money put away in savings. Let's say you don't die. After that 20 years, your 2-year-old, let's say you have a 2-year-old, is now 22 years old. The 22-year-old is either away at college, which you've been saving for, so that's covered, or they've moved out of the house, so you don't have to worry about feeding that mouth. And your spouse is going to have a lot of money saved up in all these different savings accounts, retirements, and stuff like that to live off of. So by the time you hit that 21st year and you don't have that policy anymore, you're going to be okay without insurance. And that really is the goal everybody should be looking for. If you're looking to be financially independent, you need to have some money put away. You need to have no debt, savings in retirement, savings for emergencies, and of course, some savings put aside for things that you've been wanting to do as far as, you know, providing for your children's education or maybe their wedding or something like that. But if you did pass away during that 20 years that you've got this coverage, your wife, your family gets $200,000 in this example, and then they can take that money and they can put it towards some good financial choices. You know, it might be an investment, so it might be paying off a little bit of debt so that they have no debt and still have, you know, let's say they use $100,000 to pay off the house and then they have $100,000 to invest in the market and live off of. That may not be enough for most houses, and I'm not going to recommend people only have $200,000, you know, if they pass away. So here's what's really cool about term life insurance. Remember we talked about the company-provided plan. If you went for an extra $500,000, it could be anywhere from $600 to $700. Doing a quote today for somebody my age, again, early 40s, so it's not going to be cheap for me. I'm not the greatest of health. I could, if I qualified for the policy, I could get a 20-year policy for $660 a year. If I went for a 15-year policy, it's only $495 a year. It's actually less expensive than if I just got a policy with work and added on extra coverage. So that's really good news that out there in the market, you can get this stuff relatively cheap. So just imagine, if you've got a 2-year-old, you're probably in your late 20s, early 30s. A 20-year policy for you is going to be much less expensive than it is for me, who's 40. You'll be able to spend less on insurance, have a good amount of coverage. I mean, $500,000 worth of coverage. $500,000 is a really good amount to leave somebody if you pass away in 15 or 20 years. They can really then start, you know, if they've got, heaven forbid you pass away and you leave them $500,000. They can pay off the house and still have a good chunk of money to save for, you know, living off of if they don't have enough income to keep up the lifestyle. Of course, they'll have to change a bit because you're not around, but they've got the money there to help by investing it again or by using it to live off of. So life insurance is a must-have. It's a must-have. And if you can't get it through your work or it's not a very good plan, I would recommend getting it outside of work. In fact, I would recommend having some outside of work anyway. Because here's the one big problem that a lot of people don't realize with a company-provided life insurance plan, even if you add on to whatever they might give you. When you leave the company, you don't get to keep the policy. So if you're with a company for 15 years and you still need life insurance for another 5 years and then something happens and you change companies, and most people change companies, you know, 2 to 3 years is the average for a 20-year-old now for keeping a job. So they're going to change companies. They're not going to be able to take that with them. So they're not going to have that coverage for the time that they leave one job and start another. They're going to have that, you know, 60, 90-day window before they can then participate in the company's benefits plan and get that life insurance coverage. Or you might have a pre-existing condition which then won't allow you to get a good quote on term life insurance. So again, if you're in a company and you get life insurance through your company, that's great. But then think about this. If you were to leave your company, if they downsize and you get laid off, if you quit and go to another company, if something like that were to happen, you don't have any insurance. You have to go out and get it yourself now. You have to go out and get it yourself now until you're with a new company that might have that benefits plan that they can then help provide you some life insurance, and you got to wait for that 90-day window. But you're without life insurance in that period of time. Or you venture out on your own and you do something by yourself, or you start working for a small company that doesn't have a very good group plan, you're stuck and you've got to go get this life insurance. Well, you need to be able to qualify to get that insurance. You know, diabetes is a bad thing. Cancer in your family is going to... One of my clients was quoted, he was in great health, but his family had a history of cancer, and it was $800 a year for him to get term life insurance. That's still really inexpensive if you think about it, but that's more money than he should have had to pay just because his family had a history of cancer. So that's something to consider. Thinking about getting your additional life insurance coverage, not in your company, but outside of your company, that you can keep in case you were to leave your company for whatever reason, you still have some coverage. So that's a good idea. That's a good plan right there. So to summarize what we just talked about for the last 20, 25 minutes, health insurance is something that you need to have. Health insurance to cover your family is a necessity. It's something you need to have. There's just too many things that can go wrong and really mess up your money plan big time, that living without health insurance is, you know, medical bills is the number one reason for bankruptcy. Don't put yourself in that situation. Get some health insurance. Even some crummy health insurance is going to be better than none in most cases. Secondly, we talked about disability insurance. Long-term disability insurance is a great idea. Short-term isn't necessary for most people, but it's so inexpensive you might entertain the thought. But long-term disability in a company plan is inexpensive. It's very cheap. You need to have that. I'm going to recommend long-term disability in a company plan any day of the week. And finally, something that you must have life insurance. And I would highly recommend that you have some of your life insurance outside of your work. For those times when you're changing jobs, you get laid off, or something happens, once you're in a term policy, if you keep paying the premiums, you're going to keep the policy. That's the benefit. That's another one of the benefits of getting a term policy outside of your work. You can't lose the policy unless you stop paying it. And it's so inexpensive these days that living without life insurance, if you've got a family, would really be irresponsible. And it's really, really important. There's a lot more we can talk about with company-provided benefit plans during open enrollment season, and I'm going to continue to talk about those things next week. A couple things we will be talking about then will be 401k-sponsored plans through your work, and the options you have outside of a company-sponsored plan. And then another thing we'll talk about in a future episode is cafeteria plans or flex spending accounts. Quite a bit of confusion out there, but it's actually very simple and very cool. You just have to know the risks. I know this wasn't a very exciting topic. Insurance is never an exciting topic. But it's one of those necessities. It's one of those building blocks you need to have to build your house of financial freedom. Protecting your family, protecting yourself from financial ruin in case something bad were to happen. So that's why we have to talk about health insurance, and open enrollment time is a great time to discuss it. Hey, if you're interested in running those quotes just like I did, doing it by yourself, go to moneyplansos.com/037. That's the show notes for this episode. and watch a video where I walk you through how to get quotes very easily without having to talk to a salesman. You can sit there at your computer, price quotes all by yourself, and you don't even have to give your name, phone number, or email. It's a great way to do some research. All it does is cost you a little bit of time, and since it's so important, you need to do that. So again, the show notes, there will be a link for a video you can watch, moneyplansos.com/037. You'll have a blessed week. And remember, pay attention, not interest.